Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. If you don't already know, we are one church that meets at three locations. And so if you're watching this morning from Vincennes or Princeton, or if you're online, if you're at the Fireside venue here in the same building, I want to welcome you as well. Like Matt said, my name is Noah, and I have the privilege of getting to hang out with high schoolers here at Bethany. And we have had such a full and exciting summer for both our students and our student ministry staff. We've gotten to hang out at Camp Ileana, and we just got back from Panama City Beach with a group of high schoolers. We have gotten to see God move in some incredible ways. And it's just been special to get a front row seat to that. And I think probably one of the really special parts of this summer for me was getting to go to middle school camp at Camp Ileana, because I'd never experienced Ileana myself before. And I had the opportunity to be there as a guest speaker, and I just got to ride around in a golf cart all week and hang out with crazy middle schoolers. It was pretty awesome. It's different than what I usually get to do around here. But during that week, we took the time to walk middle schoolers through what it means to follow Jesus, but looking at the lives and the examples of some of the disciples that we can read about in the Gospels. And we really zeroed in on one disciple in particular, and that was Simon Peter, who happens to be my absolute favorite person that we have an opportunity to read about in Scripture. I love Simon Peter. I just think his life is so cool. Like, there's so many twists and turns to his story, and God is evident all throughout it. And I think that Peter is so cool because he's so relatable. Like, at one point or another, every one of us can find something in common, some way to relate to him. And so I want to take the time to look at his story this morning. Let's check out how it begins in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 18. It says, "One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed them." There it is, Simon Peter's entire testimony in three verses. All right, it looks like you're getting out of here way ahead of lunch rush this morning. Except Simon Peter's story is not that simple. Like, these few verses, they barely scratch the surface of Peter's testimony. And in this moment, when Jesus calls him, this picture that we get of Simon Peter's start in the book of Matthew, it's not a complete picture. And I could spend the next few minutes talking about how incredible it is that Jesus called Peter and at once he left everything to follow him, and how every single one of us, God is calling us to that kind of devotion and commitment in our lives, that we'd be willing to just give up everything in an instant and follow after him. And he is. Right, God wants our whole heart and our total devotion. And what God is offering us in return is something so much better than anything that we could possibly find in this life. But Simon Peter's story is not that pretty. You see, this picture of Peter when he follows Jesus in Matthew 6, it seems simple and succinct, but as you look deeper and you keep reading through the gospel story and some of the other gospels like Luke or John, you realize that Peter was not quickly convinced to give his life to Jesus. I mean, we know from reading the gospel accounts that Peter was familiar with who Jesus was, even before he'd really made a decision about him. And maybe that was because he was, in fact, following Jesus, like Matthew says, but he hadn't really made the decision about him yet. But if nothing else, like I think that we can see that Peter knew who Jesus was because Peter's brother Andrew was one of Jesus' first disciples. He was actually a disciple of John the Baptist first. You can read about this in John chapter 1, and the Gospel of John is written by a different John than John the Baptist. But Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist first. But when John the Baptist told Andrew plainly, like, "Listen, I'm not the Messiah, but that guy is," Peter left John and started following after Jesus. And so we know that Simon Peter had to have known who Jesus was, maybe because he had started to tentatively follow him. And maybe some of you can relate to that you you've not made a decision for yourself about who Jesus is yet, but you're here and you're listening to these words. You're curious. But if that's not the case, we can safely assume that Peter knew who Jesus was because Andrew knew who Jesus was. And he was almost certainly telling his brother about this incredible life change that he was experiencing. And we can definitely say this. We definitely know that even after Peter had met Jesus for himself, even after he'd heard Jesus speak, even after he had watched Jesus perform miracles in his own home, Simon Peter still had not made a decision about Jesus yet. Check this out in Luke chapter 4. You can find it on page 834 in the Bible in the chair rack or in front of you, or maybe it's at a table at one of your campuses. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 38. It says this. It says, Jesus left the synagogue and he went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. And so he bent over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. And then at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Jesus came in to Simon Peter's home and performed a miracle. And then after that, it's likely that Peter followed him out and watched him continuously performing miracles after, but he still is not fully convinced. Like even up to this point, he's not made a decision. He's just a wallflower. But I want you to see how Peter's story continues in Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1 if you want to flip to the next page. This is sometime after this moment when Jesus had been in Peter's home, and we don't know if it was the next day, but it was one day later, and Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to push out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when they had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but if you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and they had to signal their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. For he and all of his companions, they were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Simon Peter knew who Jesus was. He had heard him speak, he had watched him perform miracles, and yet he had not made a decision about him for himself. But then by no accident, Jesus shows up again at the water and he picks Peter's boat to step into. And Peter, he's exhausted from this night of fishing and he hasn't caught anything. He's failed to provide himself the income that he needs to meet the needs of his family, to put food on the table. He's at the end of himself in this moment. And Jesus tells him to let down his net. And even in that moment, he's not sure, but he does it anyways. And Jesus blesses him abundantly to the point where he's not even able to haul in the catch. And this is where Simon Peter finally meets his breaking point, and he falls down at Jesus' knees and he says, listen, I am far too broken to be loved by you. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. But Jesus calls him out of his brokenness and offers him a chance to truly follow him. Have you ever been in a place like this in your life where you've just felt like so broken, so messy and messed up that you felt like there was no way that you could even approach God? And certainly he wouldn't have anything to do with you. And I don't know the specific reason why Simon didn't sell out for Jesus sooner. I don't know what weight or guilt it was that he was trying to carry, but for some reason, he was still trying to hang on to this old life. I mean, he knew who Jesus was. He knew his reputation. He heard him teach and watched him perform miracles, but he hadn't made a decision to follow him yet. And maybe it was because he knew that he didn't have it all together, as something needed to change, and he was afraid to make that change and put his faith in something other than himself. I mean, he believed that Jesus was respectable and wise and miraculous, but he had this hard time letting go. Or maybe it was that Simon was so overwhelmed by his own brokenness that he struggled to believe that Jesus could really use him or meet him where he was. Regardless, though, Peter finally gets to this point where he realizes that he is utterly incapable of doing this life on his own. And that the love of Jesus, it is seeking him out exactly where he's at. And if you are in a similar place this morning, if you know who Jesus is, if you know what people have to say about him, if you recognize that his life is a fact of history, that he lived and died and then he was alive again, if you respect who he is, but you still haven't made a decision about him yet. Maybe because you feel like your life is so messy that there's no way that God could even sort it out. Then I want you to hear this morning. That no matter who you are or what your story looks like, Jesus is calling us to something greater in him. And the plan and the purpose that God has for your life, it is so much better than anything that you could possibly find in this world. And the blood of Jesus, it is already paid for your brokenness. And the love of Jesus, it is seeking you out exactly where you are this morning. Simon Peter's story teaches us this. That no matter who you are or what your story looks like, Jesus is calling you to something greater in him. And listen, as incredible as Simon Peter's story is to this point, this barely scratches the surface of how God is going to continue to work in his life story. I mean, Peter, he's one of the most dynamic people that we have the opportunity to read about in Scripture. And as incredible as this is, Peter, he's going to experience some monumentally higher heights than he experienced on the day when he first accepted Jesus. And he'll experience also some more crushing and devastating lows than he ever thought possible. He'll go on to perform profound miracles with his own hands. And then in his moments of greatest weakness, when Jesus is being led away for a rigged trial and a crucifixion, he'll deny knowing him multiple times over. But this is the truth of Peter's story that is so profound. You see, Peter is the proof of this incredible truth that I think we miss so easily in the church today, and it's this, that the true testimony of a follower of Jesus, it is not simply, I was once lost, but now I'm found. It is not simply, I was once dead in my sins, but now I'm alive in Christ. Although that's the foundational truth of a life dedicated to Jesus, that's not the whole picture. No, the true testimony of a follower of Jesus is I am constantly struggling to follow Jesus better. And he is constantly meeting me and redeeming me in my brokenness. The true testimony of a follower of Jesus is not simply I was once lost, but now I'm found. It's I am constantly wrestling and struggling. And the love of Jesus, it is constantly meeting me and redeeming me in that struggle. The life of a follower of Jesus, it's dynamic and it's constantly changing. And even in the midst of that, Jesus' love, it continues to pursue us and give us a hope and a purpose and a peace. And I love how Simon Peter's story illustrates that. I got the chance to hang out with my parents a few weeks ago. We're working on building our house right now, and so things are busy, and they live out in Ohio, but we were really excited for them to come into town on Father's Day weekend and see the progress on the house and come to the Otters game with us, and it was really cool. But more than anything else, when I get to hang out with my parents, Jerrica and I's favorite thing to do is to simply find a table somewhere and sit and play euchre. I mean, I love that we can just sit around for hours and throw cards, and not really because we're all that focused on who's winning or losing, although like they're at a point in their marriage where they beat us almost every time because it's all about those subliminal messages, right? But I love that we get to sit around for hours and just talk with them. I love getting to talk with my parents. I call my mom or my dad almost every single day. And it's really just been in the last few years that like my stupid level has gone down enough to where I'm really able to appreciate and admire like who they are and the words that they speak and the fact that they like let me survive to adulthood, you know? But I do, I love getting to talk with my parents, and their story, it's so incredible. My dad had a really rough childhood, to say the least, and he was a rough kid too. He got bounced around from grandparent to parents' houses, and he grew up really poor in inner city Cincinnati. But at 16 years old, he encountered Jesus and gave his life to him, and everything changed. But at 17, his dad was sent to prison, and he was put at risk of being put into the system. But part of the reason why I love the church so much is because my dad's story is such an example of the church working right, and this family that attended the same church that he was going to, they offered to foster him until he was able to graduate from high school, and from there he went on to Bible college to pursue ministry. It was there that he met his wife, and they had three of my older siblings, but shortly after that, his wife died unexpectedly. My mom was 15 years old when she got pregnant with my oldest sister. About 6 years after that, she got married and had another one of my siblings. And it was sometime during that time that she encountered Jesus through the witness of her grandmother. But it was also during that time that her marriage had turned abusive, and not just towards her, but towards my sisters as well. And by the grace of God, they were able to get out of that situation. And it was just a short time later that my parents met and fell in love and got married. And God, he redeemed two broken situations through that. And it's such an incredible story of his goodness and his love and his provision. But even more significant than that, more significant than their backstory and how their story began, is I've had chances to sit and talk with my parents more as they've counseled me through some really difficult moments in my life. What's so much more significant about their story is the truth that God has continued to work through their story in some powerful and incredible ways as they've allowed him to. They didn't get married and ride off into the sunset. They still encountered struggle and trouble, but the most powerful truth of their testimony is that God has continued to meet them time and time again as they've encountered their own brokenness, in a broken world, brokenness in the lives of our family and my life and in my siblings' life. God has continued to take those situations as they've turned them over to him and show himself to them more powerfully than they ever thought possible and protect them by the power of his love and carry them through them. And that's just it, the true testimony of a follower of Jesus. It is not simply before and after. It's continual. And I think that it's so important to hold that truth in the forefront of our mind, because if not, I think that it's our temptation to settle, To think that we've arrived, that we've made the one decision to follow Jesus, and now we're just kind of like waiting for eternity. But that's not the way that it works. We still have work to do. Now, don't hear me wrong. What I'm not saying is that we have to work to achieve our salvation. No, Christ already did all the work required to secure our salvation through what he did on the cross. The work has been done on the cross, but God, he's still working things out inside of us. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 4, he's writing to this church, this group of people that he helped plant and establish in the city of Philippi. And he says in Philippians 4, verse 1, that in all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day, from that first moment when you accepted Christ and began to follow him until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here that the moment when we first accept Christ, that's the first step in this journey that each of us are on, from that first moment and until today, and from today onward until eternity. And in Ephesians, Paul calls this a continual renewal that happens to us day by day. The true testimony, the life of a follower of Jesus, it is not one and done. It's continual. It is constantly unfolding. And this side of heaven, on this side of heaven, we will never reach a point of arrival. We're never going to get to the point where we've done all the work that God has for us to do, regardless of what heights we achieve in our knowledge of God, from the moment when we first accept Jesus to now until the day when we finally get to meet him face to face every single day. God, he is calling us to get up and continue to carry on the good work that he is doing in us as we continue to give our life over to him. We will never reach a point of arrival. And that's not just true in our best moments, but it's true in our worst moments too, that in the same way that we're never going to get to a point where we've arrived, we're never going to get to a point either where we've become too far gone, where our life is too messy, or we've messed up so bad that God isn't able to pick us back up and help us to start moving forward again. And I think that you might be here and hearing these words, and you might fall into one of those two categories. Maybe you're here right now and you gave your life to Jesus a long time ago. You made that decision, and lately you've just been coasting in your relationship with him. And I know that that's possible because I've been at that same point in my life and faith before where I forget that God has still got work for me to do, that there's still ground to be taken. But you might be here also and hearing these words, and you feel like you're in a place right now where you have messed up so bad, where your life is so broken and messy that you feel like there is no way that God would have anything to do with you. Or maybe you've never made that decision before to give your life to Jesus because you recognize where you're at and you feel like there's no way that Jesus could want or use you. And regardless of where you fall or in each of those categories, I want you to hear me say again that no matter who you are or what your story looks like, Jesus, he is calling you to something greater in him. And Simon Peter's story, it's such a good example of what a full life of following Jesus looks like. He has so many dynamic highs and lows. I mean, he saw Jesus walking out on water on a windy night. And in a moment of incredible courage and immense faith, he steps out of the boat and he starts to walk across the water to meet him. But even in the midst of experiencing a miracle, he starts to get overwhelmed and doubt, and he begins to drown, and Jesus has to reach out and save him. And then Peter, he makes this realization, this connection. He understands that Jesus is the Son of God. He makes this connection before any of the other disciples. And in that moment, Jesus blesses him and tells him that he is going to be the foundation of the church. That's where he gets this name, Peter, which means rock. He tells him he's going to have this incredible power and influence. And then moments later, Peter starts yelling at Jesus and rebuking him. And Jesus is like, bro, you're acting like Satan right now. Peter's story is a series of these kind of highs and lows. And I think that we can all relate to that in some way. As sometimes we feel like we are on fire for Jesus. Like we've just about arrived. And then a moment of brokenness or failure comes and we feel so foolish and broken. And if we don't have a proper understanding of what it means to know Jesus, to follow him in this life, if we fool ourselves into thinking that we can reach this point where God is going to be done working in us, then when a moment of failure or brokenness comes, and it will come, we can become totally overwhelmed. But the truth is that following Jesus does not mean that we're going to be untouchable or impervious to failure, or that we have to make the one and done decision to follow Jesus and believe in him. And from that point on, that we're automatically going to be totally different. And that's all that there is to it. It is so much more than that. This is a lifelong process. It's a daily pursuit. And I think that we have to be really careful about representing the life of a follower of Jesus as simply before and after. Because that can give Jesus a bad name when we inevitably fail. Following Jesus, it's not a story of just a single transformation that changes the course of your life. Although that's that first moment when we first encounter God and accept Christ, that does bring transformation and it brings change, but that's not the full picture. Following Jesus, it's about the constant transformation that is offered to us each and every day as we continue to encounter and recognize the broken things in our life, and the love of Jesus continues to meet us in those moments and offer us mercy and redemption. I love these words from Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 19. It says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it, and it is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I will hope in him. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every single day. Every morning is an opportunity to get up and continue to struggle to follow him better. And when we finally get to a day when we have the chance to look Jesus in the face and stand before him as both our judge and our defender, it is only through claiming that mercy and grace that we have any opportunity to achieve eternal salvation and redemption in Christ Jesus. When I was in Latin class in high school, we learned about this myth about this guy named Sisyphus. And in the myth, Sisyphus had done something to offend the gods. I don't remember what really. I was a bad Latin student. But his punishment was that he would be cursed for all of eternity to roll this giant stone up this hill. But every time that he would get close to the top of the hill, the weight of the stone, it would grow too overwhelming and it would roll back to the bottom, and he would have to go back down and start all over again. Now, I don't ascribe to Greek mythology. We have one God, and that's Jehovah. But I love this story because I think in a way it illustrates what the human experience is and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. We are all striving to meet the standard of perfection or fulfillment, to get to this point of arrival. But on this side of heaven, we never will. And we struggle to overcome the weight of life's struggles, of our own brokenness and sinfulness, the sinfulness of this world. But in a moment of weakness or distraction, or when we make the mistake of thinking that we've made it to the top until we let off the gas, or when we feel overwhelmed, we can get to this point where we feel crushed by the weight. We feel like we've fallen back down to the bottom all over again. The difference is, though, that we are not being punished. That is not what this life is. We serve a God who loves us, who calls us his own children when we accept Christ, who desires to be near to us and close to us in our struggle. We have a perfect example in Christ Jesus. We have an advocate by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and they help to navigate us through this life and carry the weight. And in Christ Jesus, we have hope that one day we will reach the top. That a day is coming when Christ will return and he will complete the good work that he has began in us. And every single day, we are one day closer to that moment where we get to stand face to face with him in eternity. But now, in the meantime, there is simply honor in the effort. If you are still alive and breathing, your testimony is still unfolding. None of us have reached a point of arrival, and God is not giving up on any of us yet. His mercies are new every morning. And maybe you're sitting here right now and you feel like you've almost made it to the top. You feel like you've just about arrived and you've started to let off the gas. If that's you this morning, then the encouragement to you is to recognize that God is still trying to work in your heart and life. There is still ground to be taken and God is still calling you to something greater. Or maybe you feel like you're in a place right now where you are on a roll. You are moving in the right direction. You're in a healthy place and your relationship with Christ and you are taking ground. And that's great, but right now, in the moment of calm, I want you to lock in this truth that when a moment of failure or brokenness comes, and it will come, that even then, God is still calling you to something greater in him. Or maybe you're here right now, and you feel like you are laying crushed at the bottom of that hill. Maybe you're in a place where your life is so messy, maybe as a result of your own brokenness and mistakes, or maybe the mistakes of somebody else, or maybe it's just a broken and messed up world, but you feel defeated. And you're wondering if God has anything left for you. And if that's you this morning, I want you to hear that God, no matter who you are or what your story looks like, he is calling you to something greater still in him. The true testimony of a follower of Jesus, it's not a simple before and after. It is the constant hope and redemption that is found in Christ Jesus. We have a hope that one day there is a day coming when Christ will return and restore us once and for all. But now, in the meantime, there is honor in the effort. No matter who you are or what your story looks like, God is calling you to something greater still in him. Would you pray with me? God, I praise you for who you are. That your promise to us is that you will never abandon us or forsake us, that we could never get so far that we're out of your reach, God, that you have a love for us that knows no bounds and no conditions, that if we would simply give our life over to you, that you always have something new to experience. God, I thank you that we have a purpose and a peace and a point to this life in you that's so much weightier and more significant and fulfilling than anything else that we could achieve in this life. God, I pray that truth would rest heavy on the heart and mind of every single person hearing these words this morning. And that we would be encouraged by the power of your Holy Spirit to leave this place and discover what's next that you have in store for us. I pray all these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.